Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
Agent Provocateur. Born is your artist of the day on this Tuesday throwback to the 80s.
You know, every once in a while, you see a headline that is so awful and disgusting and despicable, you hope for a moment it's someone's failed attempt at a joke.
Or an Onion headline.
Clothing company comes under fire for school shooting-themed sweatshirts.
Ooh.
Clothing company is in trouble after showcasing hooded sweatshirts that appear to feature bullet holes and display the name of various school shooting locations. The company featured a number of photos on its Instagram page of models wearing the sweatshirts. Each of the hoodies have several smaller holes in them and say school shooting locations on the front, like Sandy Hook, Virginia Tech, Columbine, and Stoneman Douglas. The photos have garnered thousands of comments from accounts bashing the sweatshirts.
Yeah, that's not funny.
I always ask, because these things come up from time to time, where a company thinks they're being edgy or they're being funny, and so completely misses the bigger picture. I don't understand what anyone could be thinking.
Who wears that, by the way?
They have several photos.
Not to be a prude or anything.
No,
but
they have several photos of model wearing, and it's not like a picture of a hole. There are holes in the sweatshirts, actual holes.
Mm-hmm. And that one says Sandy Hook.
I mean,
by the way,
what file that under? What the hell are people thinking?
Aside from the school shooting aspect of it, which is bad enough, you're buying a shirt with holes in it.
You know, I've always wondered, like,
it's a lousy shirt.
I've always wondered, like, the moral, and I'm sure there's somebody who's got this listening right now, where they put the fake bullet holes in their car.
Yeah.
The decals.
The decals on their car.
I took a photo of one in Topeka.
Like, their car's been shot up.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's something to brag about.
You don't remember
street cred, baby.
At the North Topeka Walmart.
To be shot at gives you street cred?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I took a photo of the 5 or 6 bullet hole decals on the back right side of the car.
Mm-hmm.
And the car also had a baby on board placard.
That is outstanding.
In the back window.
That's pretty rich.
This was several years ago in North Topeka. And I tweeted at the time, what is the message you're trying to convey here?
Shoot my baby?
You've been in a drive-by, but please don't tailgate because there's a baby in here.
The best ones are the ones where it's like a very late model conversion van or one of those, you know, Woody station wagons.
Yeah.
Put the bullet hole decals on that.
God.
I'm not saying that car deserves to be shot. You're saying you shouldn't be driving that car.
The baby on board decal, really?
Can I have something to sip, please? I've got something stuck in my throat.
I suppose.
Phrasing.
You need an ENT.
What, are your sinuses a Rube Goldberg machine or something?
I don't know.
I don't need an ENT. I'm fine. I went to the doctor the other week. They said I'm fine.
Mm-hmm.
I'm fine.
I'm fine. You sound like you're dying.
I'm not dying.
Okay.
I just have a cough. A story here from CNN. When Italian villages began selling houses for $1 a piece, it almost seemed too good to be true.
Mm-hmm.
But the latest offer from Italy is enough to make even the deal look like a ripoff. And forgive me for pronunciation here. The region of Molise a wild, beautiful, but overlooked area that lies east of Rome. It's on the eastern shore.
Okay.
On the Adriatic Sea of Italy.
What's the catch?
Has announced that it will pay people more than $27,000 to settle in one of 106 underpopulated villages in an effort to prevent those communities from dying. But there is a catch.
And that
it's
catch
is? It's populated with bears and sex offenders.
No. You also have to commit to start a small business in order to contribute to the local economy. Quoting here from Antonio Tedeschi, who is a regional councillor, I want my region to undergo a renaissance and avoid its authentic villages turning into ghost towns. We need to safeguard our roots. So they are offering you a house for $1 because people are moving out.
You've got to be kidding
me. No, I'm not kidding you.
It's gorgeous. Have you looked it up?
I looked at some of the pictures. Yeah, it's beautiful.
Okay, so on the boot of Italy.
No, it's not on the boot.
Listen,
it's on the eastern coast.
Let me finish my sentence.
Okay.
On the boot of Italy, it is on your right ankle bone. It is exactly where the right ankle bone would be on the boot.
What's the name of this place?
Molise, M-O-L-I-S-E.
The photos are stunning. There has to be something else here. There has to be something else here. Like, I don't know.
What?
There's got to be something wrong with
this
place.
People are leaving Western Kansas, and they don't. And
Western Kansas does not look like this.
I understand Western Kansas doesn't look like this, but that therein lies my question. We all live in a big city. We all have a professional football team and a professional baseball team and major university sports. We have a world-class museum and a theater downtown. We have an airport, which is a piece of crap, but they're building a new one. We have a trolley system that's going in now. We have arts. We have festivals. If I paid you, Dana.
This is stunning.
It is beautiful. Yes.
I'll go right now.
Bye.
I don't know what business I'd open up, but I'll figure it out.
Okay.
Same.
Why do you have to pay someone $27,000 to live there? And to me...
Because people are leaving
well,
there.
Well, if people are leaving, .. why?
It's rural.
You got to give me more than just it's rural. If people are leaving a place that is that stunning, with just you're surrounded by natural beauty, there's got to be something else. Is the cost of living $1 billion? Is it...
Define natural beauty.
Water and a lot of buildings with those red roofs that look like you're in
Italy. I'll tell you this right now. When we left Lincoln, Nebraska last Sunday morning, we drove through, and they weren't like, it wasn't flat land. There were beautiful hills with corn and soybeans and everything. And I know the bingo game's over. Kelly looks over at me and says, this is just beautiful country.
I'm still playing for second place, by the way. I'm one away.
That's a different beautiful. I wouldn't want to live in the middle of nowhere.
People look at the Flint Hills and say it's beautiful.
I do.
Absolutely beautiful.
It is beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody lives there.
No, you go for the concert outside every year.
My point being, beauty doesn't necessarily mean an ocean. Now, it does for me, but not for everybody else. There's a reason people live in Minot, North Dakota.
But
as
when
we talked
you
about
hear
yesterday.
That a town is dying, a couple of images come to my mind, okay? The tiny mom-and-pop store, there's maybe one gas station, but probably not even a Casey's General Store, something smaller than that.
Okay.
The town has lost its post office.
Like Reno, Kansas on 2440
Highway. Yeah, I mean, that when you say to me a town is dying, that's the image I have in my mind. I don't have an image of all of these stunning buildings near the water. Why is this dying? There's got to be a reason this place is dying and people are leaving. What is that reason?
I don't know. Here's what I do know. They'll sell you a house for a buck and they'll give you $27,000 a year to live there. All you have to do is start a business.
It's a brilliant marketing strategy, actually.
Would you do it?
If I was in need of a fresh start in the worst way, yes.
Would you move to Reno, Kansas?
No.
Would you move to Tonganoxie?
No.
Not that Tonganoxie needs it. It's actually booming right now. I'm just using that as the example.
Well, widen it out with an absolutely realistic example, which is the fact that none of these small places Missouri or Kansas, have physicians. So there are programs, Scott, where they will incentivize all kinds of things to try and lure medical professionals to tiny towns.
Let me ask you this. Few people that I know are more invested and committed to the course of journalism as you are. Would you agree?
Yeah.
You argue for journalism all the time.
Sure.
Especially off the air. Let's say that a small town, help me out here, Will, St. Francis County, Kansas, in the far northwest corner.
St. Francis, Kansas,
All right. St. Francis, is it county or city?
It's a city.
It's a city, okay. St. Francis, the city, with a population of, I believe, 2,000.
If that.
They're losing their newspaper.
Their radio station is going under because the owner just died. They're willing to sell you that radio station for $1, and they'll pay you a minimum of $27,000 plus whatever you earn in advertising. If you, Dana Wright, will leave Kansas City and broadcast in St. Francis County, because God knows they need their weather, they need their ag reports. If there's a tornado, they need to know that. Would you go?
You know I would not go.
But Dana, they need journalism.
Because home is here.
That's my point.
My point in Italy is, what do they need there, and why are people leaving there?
Why are people leaving Western Kansas?
Because small towns are dying. And it's sad. It is very sad. But if you look at the percentage population centers in Kansas, you have population where we are sitting right here in Johnson.
Yep.
You have population in Sedgwick. You have some population in Shawnee, certainly Douglas. And then as you start heading just west of Topeka, and we looked this up once, Will, is it true that the entire population added up west of Topeka and all the way west to Colorado barely equals what we have here?
I've heard that. I've never verified it myself. From my viewpoint, the solution when it comes to the small towns really lies in getting really good, reliable, high-speed internet access. And the reason I say that is because the small towns, these are the areas that are typically the last to get this stuff.
Yep.
But if you have a small town and want people to go there, get really good internet access, you can advertise how low the cost of living is, you will become a tech startup hub if you can get that.
576-7798. Will Starrett, Sam Stevie, Dana Wright, I'm Scott Parks on KMBZ. Let's get to it, because we got to get to the news here in a few minutes. Jim in Fairfax. Hello, Jim.
Hi, Jim.
Hey, what's going on?
What up?
Nice to hear you all. I kind of got in on the middle of this. I got back to my pickup working, and I think the towns aren't dying. The term you're looking for is rural depopulation. And it's happening because it's kind of a domino effect. There's no opportunity for the young people, so they're not sticking around because there's no job for them to have. Therefore, there's no kids being reproduced to keep their schools alive, and a lot of these towns are then having to consolidate, and it's just the domino effect, and it all goes down to there's nothing there to keep the young population in that town.
But you said, rural depopulation. How is that not small towns are dying?
Well, it's rural depopulation is, I guess, the proper term. Towns die, but it takes a long time for it to go completely away. We've got little towns that, when I-29 opened up back in the 70s, there were lots of thriving towns of, 3,000-4,000 population. Well, that's because the traffic was going through those towns. When the interstate opened up, traffic went away, businesses went away, depopulation started to occur.
Hmm. Yeah.
All right,
go to John real quick, because he's been to this town in Italy we were talking about.
John, very quickly, because we got to get to the news. Go ahead.
Yeah, hey, Scott and Dana. Love the show. Love our show.
Thank you.
I've been there. I was stationed in Rota, Spain in the early 90s. I was in the Navy, and we were passing through, going through Rome, and on our way to Malta to visit some friends. It was a very nice town then, very old school, old world Italian. I'm not exactly sure what happened to it in 2019, but my question is, instead of paying people $27,000 to live there and giving them a dollar for a home, why not take that same money and just turn it into a resort town? Because this location, it's suited for that, you know? In the 90s, there weren't places like Turks and Caicos in the world on a large scale like that. Why wouldn't you just take that and take that money and put it towards some infrastructure and turn it into a resort and revive it in that manner?
I would only argue with you, John, that the locals don't want that. I don't know anybody.
But if it's that or your town's going away.
Well, but I don't know anybody who wants their neighborhood to turn into a resort town.
Yeah.
That's fair.
Nobody says, hey, you know, gosh, dang it, I wish Disney would come here and open up a Disney resort.
There are cities, by the way, offering mega tax incentives to lure physicians to rural small communities. And I ask you again, if you were a doctor and you were looking at making even $90,000, $100,000 as a general practitioner, and they said, hey, we're going to make your taxes easier, you know, we'll kick you another 10 grand, but you have to move to a very rural underserved area, would most physicians consider that?
576-7798.
We built this city. We built this city on rock and roll. Built this city. We built this city on rock and roll. Starship,
1986 or 85, one of the two. Here on Dana and Parks, number one hit, by the way. Somebody writes in, Kansas had earthquakes on Monday. Yeah, Kansas has had earthquakes a lot lately. Fracking. Notice they're all right around Hutchinson.
Well, we had someone call in actually from the Flint Hills. They are furious that this is happening.
Yeah, the one Monday was around Cottonwood Falls.
Where's that?
In the Flint Hills.
Okay.
Basically out west of Emporia.
Is that fracking area?
Hasn't been historically.
Huh.
I don't know if that's changed since the last time I looked into it.
Yeah,
but
they are all mobilizing and they have a group and they're fighting it because remember, Scott, this affects your insurance rate.
Fighting what? The fracking?
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm.
You always say, you know, the government's here to protect me from you. I want someone to protect me from a company coming in, blowing up the landscape. My house falls in on itself, and you can't get earthquake insurance out there because of the fracking. I mean, it's a mess if you own a home near one of these sites.
I still remember, what was it, 2-3 years ago when we had the earthquake here?
Yeah, I was out of town that weekend.
The windows started shaking. The dog was losing her mind.
I was so mad because I've never experienced an earthquake.
I slept right through it.
I went out of town and then there was an earthquake while I was gone.
I was laying in bed. I was watching, I think it was Fox 4 or something. It was like a Saturday morning, if I remember right. And before it happened, and this is that like intuitive thing that animals have, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
Stella starts going crazy. And I'm thinking, who's outside? Oh my God, it's like 6:30, 7 o'clock in the morning. Who's outside? Because she can smell the mailman from like two doors down.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And she is losing her lid, running from Maya's room into the living room, into my room, jumping on the bed, back into Maya's room, living room.
Barking like, too?
Oh, the whole time. The whole time. Just going nuts. And I'm like, I go, hey. And I was the only one at home that night for some reason. And I go, hey, cut it out. And next thing I know, I start hearing the windows shaking. So I think a really bad storm is moving in. And then I'm watching the news, and the meteorologist comes on and says, I don't know if you guys just felt that, but we just had an earthquake. And I'm laying in my bed. I'm like, holy crap.
The belief that animals can predict earthquakes has been around for centuries. In 373 BC, historians recorded that animals, including rats, snakes, and weasels, deserted the Greek city of Helice in droves just days before a quake devastated the place.
Hmm. Okay.
Yeah, no, I believe that they can feel that stuff.
Well, I had like, she gave me like a 5-minute warning. She was running like a lunatic through the house. I thought we were under attack. I was ready to get my gun. I thought somebody was about to break down the front door.
Went all G.I. Joe in the living room?
Well, no, but I did that the other day. I'm not proud. But whatever.
Wait, what?
Nothing.
Researchers around the world continue to pursue the idea. In September of 2003, a medical doctor in Japan made headlines with a study that indicated erratic behavior in dogs could be used to forecast quakes.
Oh, I never disputed the validity of that.
Yeah, but they've done studies and they've never really been able to, is it correlation or causation kind of thing?
Mm-hmm, yeah. Maybe they can, I mean, you know, they can smell something from two houses down.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they feel it before we feel it. I mean, does an earthquake really start just when we feel it?
No.
Or does it start prior to
that? It starts prior to that.
And maybe the animals, Dana, to your point and to the story that you're reading, like Stella could sense that something was happening.
Didn't know what, but it's something.
Yeah, well. She,
I think it's an earthquake.
She doesn't know anything. She just knows that. It's weird. I feel the house is about to shake.
Well, and there have been a number of different accounts of, I'm thinking back to the tsunami in 2004, right after Christmas that year.
Yep.
Of you all, the one in Indonesia?
Yeah, the all of the animals, like
the
a
birds.
Day or two before, every bit of wildlife just started bolting away from the coastline.
Now, geologists,
they're smarter than we
dismiss
are.
Oh, yeah, these kinds of reports, saying it's the psychological focusing effect where people remember strange behaviors only after the quake or other catastrophe has taken place. If nothing had happened, they contend, people would not have remembered what they now deem to be strange behavior.
But my dog only goes, my dog will bark if the mailman's coming down the street.
Yeah.
Okay? Other than that, she never barks, ever. She was not barking, Dana. She was losing her mind.
Yeah.
Like, I had never seen her act like this before.
She should be the earthquake predictor.
Well,
then.
She is. She's the earthquake whisperer.
Running around the house barking, mm-hmm. Earthquake, earthquake.
The problem was I don't speak dog and I couldn't interpret what she was saying. Had I known, I would have gone to the bathroom.
Yeah, the
and taken
Seismological
cover.
Society says there's no
I don't believe it.
Concrete evidence showing that animals do know it's coming.
Do you think animals can predict the weather?
Yes.
Or something like this.
I mean, birds
like
fly south for the winter. How do they know to do that?
If an animal can tell us that Timmy's in the well, it can tell us that there's a an earthquake that's beginning.
I think they have like a sixth sense that we do not have. That they can predict this kind of stuff.
I don't know if it's necessarily a sixth sense as much as it may be heightened sensitivity of some of the other ones. Their hearing is better. Their sense of touch is better.
Smell, of course.
Of course, yeah. So I don't know if it necessarily means there's a sixth sense there or just the fact that the other senses are working better than ours do.
We're not going back and talking about Scott going G.I. Joe. We've told that story enough. Okay?
I missed it.
Yeah, we'll fill you in later.
Okay.
When someone knocks on my door, I drop to my belly.
Oh, yeah, that.
And move my way into my bedroom to get my gun.
You think I'm the one with psychological problems.
And then he army crawls back to the living room,
mm-hmm.
pointing the gun at the door.
No, I just get close enough to my gun.
As the theme from the A-Team plays in the background.
Right. All right, boys.
Okay, the Weather Network says there are 5 animals that they believe can predict earthquakes.
Wait, let me guess.
I'm going to have you guess, but let me look first. 1, 2... What? I don't even know what that is. 4 or 5. Okay.
Okay, so 4 that we've actually heard of and 1 that we've never heard of.
Correct.
Horses.
No. That's my first guess would have been horses.
Wow.
Nope, not on the list.
Birds.
Yes, birds.
And is that in one category?
Birds is in one category all alone.
Dogs.
It says before a magnitude 5.8 quake in August of 2011, one zoo's 64 flamingos suddenly huddled together in a group, and the zoo's ducks fled the water.
Okay, but birds are one category.
Yep.
Okay. Dogs.
No.
Wow.
I know. I would have guessed horses and dogs.
Are any of these common pets? Are we specifically talking...
Yeah, like wild animals.
Right, wildlife here.
More wild than not.
Deer?
No.
Deer are dumb.
You got to go smaller.
Squirrels.
Uh-uh. Squirrels are dumb.
No, they're not. I am a defender of squirrels now.
Toads.
Huh?
If early warning is the goal, you may want to look to shallower waters like the neighborhood pond. Scientists studying the breeding habits of toads in Italy in 2009 noticed all of the breeding pairs in their pond had vanished. 3 days later, there was a 5.9 magnitude earthquake.
From the text line, cows.
No.
Oh.
Dude, cows are dumb.
Well, then why do they all huddle together when it's raining? Have you ever noticed that? And then there's the one that gets the center, and I always wonder who decides who gets to be in the middle.
First come, first serve.
Mm-hmm.
So we've got toads, birds.
How many are there?
Five. And one we've never heard of, so that doesn't count.
So really just four?
Like zebras.
Snakes.
Oh, well. Mice.
No.
Really?
Rats.
Ants.
Yeah, ants,
I mean, ants creep me out. Have you ever noticed if there's one in your kitchen and you go and you smash one of them, the one next to it freaks out and runs off?
Yeah, he just watched his friend die.
Well, but they know. I mean, even if you make a noise, it'll run the other way. Like, ants are smart.
No, they're not.
A 3-year study of ants in Germany found that before an earthquake, the ants would all leave their mounds, even at night. It raised scientists' eyebrows, as ants are not nocturnal, and being outside after dark exposed them to predators. Nevertheless, outside they stayed, apparently out of fear the tremors would collapse their burrows.
Have you ever seen one of those videos of the ants swarming a wasp nest?
Ugh.
Raiding it?
God, I hate ants.
I mean, that is, yeah, that'll tell you a lot about
but
ant
it sounds
intelligence.
Awesome.
Yeah, I'll send it to you.
The last one is the oarfish. O-A-R fish. And I've never heard of the oarfish, but it's on the list.
The oarfish?
O-A-R.
Mm.
Gnats or ant swarm wasp nest?
Yeah.
Okay. Around 20 oarfish were found washed up in Japan before the country was devastated by the quake in 2011. More were found coinciding with strong quakes in Chile and Taiwan in 2010.
Okay. Who notices this stuff?
I don't know.
Who sits around and goes, you know, there's an earthquake.
There's a bunch of oarfish.
Check this out. I'll have to describe it to everybody. There's a wasp nest underneath this overhang at a house, and the ants have built an ant bridge. Literally.
Made a rope out of themselves.
Thank you, Will. Made a rope out of themselves leading to the wasp nest. Look at this.
Yeah, that's so gross. They fascinate me and they scare me at the same time.
And then, look, and then they attack the nest. They literally made a rope out of themselves.
Wouldn't it be funny with all of this technology we have and all of the little earthquake predictor needly things if the answer lies with the ants? Like, all you need to do is study ants and you'll know when one's coming?
I guess.
The ants are leaving.
Well, I'll tell you this. I had the answer. It was my dumb dog who was... That's what she sounded like. 576-7798. We'll stare at Sam Stevie, Dana Wright. I'm Scott Parks on KMBZ. How does one accidentally delete their husband as a friend on Facebook?
I didn't delete him. I think he deleted me.
Hmm.
Real quick, plot thickens.
You looked this up, and then I looked it up. Everyone's writing in that the oarfish is amazing, and it is a deep-sea, rarely seen creature.
Correct.
So that when it washes up on shore...
Something's wrong.
They're supposed to be way, 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 way out and way, 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 way down.
They look like an eel with like a funny hat on their head.
Yeah, so if 10 of them wash up on shore and they're beaching themselves, get out of town.
Mm-hmm. That's right. If you see an oarfish that you've never seen before...
Run!
Do not walk! Did you get it? Is that it?
Let's see here. Hang on. I know it's on here somewhere. Nope. I still don't have it. But that leaves me one away yet again.
Will you tell everybody where they can get Dana and Park's bingo cards if they want to play tomorrow?
Sure. The KMBZ Twitter account has it. I also have it pinned as my top tweet, at OnAirWill on Twitter.
At OnAirWill.
Yes. And if you're not a Twitter user, it's twitter.com/OnAirWill.
And they can go there and download the... There are five cards at the moment.
Yeah, there's a printable... there's a file there with printable... Mm-hmm. Bingo cards on it, and you could play along if you'd
really
like.
This is really dumb.
It is, and I love it.
But it's very, fascinatingly good.
You know, it started just as something between Sam and I, and I. Whenever I first tweeted about it, I basically said, this is the way to make your workplace more interesting, thinking, you know, this works fine for anybody who works in a cubicle environment. If you got someone who slams the phone or... is complaining about being hungry at 10:30 or whatever. You could fill up the bingo card with all that.
Okay, one of your squares needs to be Weinbaum randomly runs in here to dump his knowledge on us.
Oh, yes.
And where's, I say that today because he's gone.
Where's Weinbaum enter studio?
It is being added to the list.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just going to put Weinbaum cameo.
Mm-hmm. There we need a randomizer for these game titles because we are getting a long list.
Yeah, it's getting pretty long.
I agree. Good point from the text line, because I can't believe we didn't think about it when we're talking about animal behavior. That's why dogs are used as seizure predictors for service dogs. There are dogs who are so in tune with what's happening with their owner that they are trained to warn you when a medical emergency is about to happen. And someone wrote in, my grandpa had a stroke in his sleep. The dog jumped up on the bed going crazy. Look that up, Scott. There are dogs for epilepsy.
And I think you're right, Dana. And if I'm not mistaken, I saw a 60 Minutes piece years ago. And by years, I don't mean a long time ago, but like 3 or 4 years ago, where dogs, if they're specially trained, can smell cancer.
Oh, yeah.
That you don't know you have.
Yep.
They can smell cancer. Isn't that crazy?
Crazy.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at kmbz.com.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.